Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this evening's message is our epistle reading from 1 Peter 2. We're focusing specifically on these verses. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this Ash Wednesday, as we begin the season of Lent, humble our hearts, and yet at the same time uplift them, for the sin that we bring to the cross is forgiven there because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May the words that are heard tonight sink deep into our hearts and flow out into our lives. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin with a true story about a 14-year-old teenager from Iowa who had just gotten his permit and for the very first time was taking the family car out for a spin. Exciting times, right? Now, of course, Dad had to come along, and so they decided to go drive on just a nice rural two-lane highway, and it was going great. In fact, the teenager was just feeling more and more confident, kept accelerating, cruising along at 60 miles per hour. Oh, the freedom he felt. And everything was going great until they reached a bridge. And he kept going. He just kept going. He was just having so much fun. And then he noticed that his dad, who was sitting in the passenger seat, was squirming, was fretting, looked like white as a sheet. And finally, he turned to him and he said, "Dad, are you all right?" And he instantly shot back, "Are you going to pull over?" And that's when he realized he had come this close to shearing off the entire right-hand side of the car and hurting his father at the same time. He didn't know. He didn't know that this was about to happen, but his father knew. I tell this story because it illustrates this point. Life's not always better in the hands of others. Now, all we have to do is just simply live our lives, and you know that that bears out. I mean, is life better in the hands of the government? I mean, we pay our taxes, we elect our leaders, and they give us services, and we are truly appreciative of them. But sometimes they go back on their promises. Sometimes they don't do what we want them to do. Do you trust your life in the hands of Wall Street, stock market? You invest some money, yeah, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you get all that money in there, and maybe you do get a good return, right? But then you get what happened just a couple days ago, a 1,000-point drop. And where'd all your money go? You're going to entrust it to that? Do you entrust your life to technology? There's a lot of good technology out there, isn't there? Right? I mean, we are a very highly advanced culture out there. And some of it is truly life-changing and life-saving. But technology breaks down. Sometimes it doesn't come through as you want it to. Are you going to entrust your life to your doctor? We have so many specialists out there, and they are truly awesome people. But sometimes they say to you, "Nothing more I can do." What about your relationships? We entrust our lives to so many people, our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, family, friends, so many. And they do love us in return until they disappoint us, until they utterly fail us. One last one. Do you entrust your life to the institutional church? To me and Pastor Mark as spiritual leaders, to elders, to your fellow brothers and sisters. We do lots of good stuff around here. We certainly do. All in the name of Christ. And yet, do we let one another down? Do we fail to live up to expectations? Yes. Every day, life just bears witness to the fact that life is not always better in other people's hands. And so what happens with that is that many people these days are now flipping the script and they're starting to say this, life's better in my hands. And boy, does it seem good at first, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, you're in the driver's seat now. You're calling the shots. You're in control. You're going to make your life whatever you want it to be. You're going to pick here. You're going to pick there. If you don't want to go here, if you don't want to engage in that relationship, if you don't want to enter that area of society, you don't have to, because life is better in my hands. Watch what happens when that plays out. If life's better in your hands, well, then you start to notice that you isolate yourself. You start withdrawing, cutting yourself off from other people. Other people that you need to sustain your life. And they need you to sustain theirs. But you also determine that if life's better in my hands and not in others, you still look at them and you want to make it better, right? If you're going to make your life better, you have to make it better for them. And so you start to control them. You start to manipulate them. And it does not always turn out the best way. You can ruin reputations, you end up gossiping, you end up slandering others, you end up hurting others, even those who are near and dear to you, and sometimes you even break others. Because of the sin that is deep inside each one of us, ask yourself that question. Is your life better in your own hands? This was the question that Peter was writing about in our text tonight. Because he was writing to Christians who were suffering at the hands of others for just simply being Christian. Oh, they were suffering. They were cut off socially. They were cut off economically. Some of them were receiving abuse, both verbal and physical. And they wanted to strike out. They wanted to go after these people. They wanted to take life in their own hands. But Peter points them to another way. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Peter told these Christians, instead of taking life in your own hands, look at Jesus look at his example and imitate him instead. But then he goes on to show something even greater than just imitating Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What is Peter saying to them? And what is Peter saying to you and to me? Because sin wreaks havoc in our lives, what we should do, what we must do, is entrust ourselves to the Creator, to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord and our Savior, and trust in His words to us, life's better in my hands. Another true story. Same teenager, only older now. Would you believe it? He grew up and bought himself a Chevy Camaro. Power car, right? Goes fast. He was young still, you know, in his early 20s, and he took it out onto the road. Not an isolated road, but a road that was just full of people cruising up and down the streets. And this thing can go fast, right? He wanted to go fast. But instead, he found himself behind two cars that were going 5 miles an hour. Well, he decided to take things in his own hands. So he gunned the accelerator, went to the right in the no-passing lane to get around them. Boy, was he going to show them. Except, as soon as he did that, the car next to him sped up as well and kept pace. And he found himself running out of room quickly. But did he slam on his brakes? Did he say, oh, that was a bad idea? No, he actually accelerated harder, tore around, but then got caught in the bumper of the car, completely wrecked the left side of his Camaro, spun the other car around. He was furious at himself. He was furious at the car. He was furious at the other car. And yet his fury turned to fear when he realized who they were. It was just a bunch of teenagers driving a car without insurance. And he didn't have it as well. What if they claimed any kind of medical issue? He would be done for. He went home completely distraught. And he ended up praying to God. He confessed his sin. And then in that moment, he actually felt a strong feeling of trust that his life was completely in God's hands. He didn't know what was going to happen, for better or for worse, but he knew that God was going to take care of him no matter what. Incidentally, that teenager, he's now a pastor in the LCMS. But do you see, that's what Ash Wednesday and that's what Lent is all about. It's all about all of us coming before God, coming before the cross, and entrusting our entire lives to Him for the sake of Jesus Christ, all so that we can live a life that reflects Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we put the ashes on our forehead in the sign of the cross. That's why we confess our sin every single Ash Wednesday and continue to confess our sin through Lent and for the rest of our lives, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to take away our sin. And that is why we constantly die to sin and live to righteousness every day, entrusting our lives to the Heavenly Father, putting them in His hands and not ours. But there's one more thing that I hope you notice. It's not just you, personally, you fill in your name doing this. You see, when your Heavenly Father declares, life's better in my hands, this is not done in your isolation. This is not done so that you can continue to control things in your life. This is not done to make one more building block in your plans of, oh, life's better in my hands. No, it's a call. It's a call to community. It's a call to the body of Christ, loving and supporting each other in their lives. I want to read a quick quote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a book called Life Together. And here's what he said. Beware of being alone. Into the community you were called, the call was not meant for you alone. In the community of the called, you bear your cross, you struggle, you pray. If you scorn the fellowship of brothers and sisters, you reject the call of Jesus Christ, and thus your solitude can only be hurtful to you. So that's why, brothers and sisters in Christ, body of Christ, I invite you these Wednesday evenings to come and hear about our life together. Our life lived together as the body of Christ, but especially lived in a world that is constantly screaming out, life's better in my hands. But our life together begins at the foot of the cross, where we remember we are ashes, where we confess our sin, and where we hear the words of God Himself. Take heart. Your life is so much better in my hands. Amen.